that happen, but we also reaffirm our elders. So from a just from a biblical perspective, what we need to do on this is, there's the name of the elders are there, and we have a new elder coming on, Dana Ogle. So if there's any reason why you think any of these men would be disqualified from being an elder, you need to contact me immediately. And that's just from a biblical standard, that's how we operate here. And so wanting to make sure prior to the meeting that these guys can be affirmed. And if there's some issue with some of them, I need to know about it right away. Volunteer opportunity. We need somebody to help second service with the PowerPoint. And it's, you do this.
That's
right.
But nobody kills you. It doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah, we don't fire you. We just make you do it till you get it right. So, yeah, you know, every once in a while you get caught up in the music and you get a couple slides behind. But, you know, it's okay. So it is pretty easy, and definitely there'll be training on how to do it. Let's see. What else do we have here? This is our second Sunday potluck today. Right after this service. And then also New Year, time to update the phone list. So there's the connection cards that are in the pews, and that's how you can do that if you have things that need to be changed, things that need to be updated. I'm thinking Diane also even wants just confirmation that the information's right. And so that would be good. And then also I think she has included on the connection card, what's the best way to reach you? You know, in this day and age, it's hard to know what really is the best way, whether it's, you know, the landline, which some of you still have, cell phones, which some of you don't have or you don't want, you don't know how to work them anyway, email, you know, what's the best way? Because we want to make sure that we communicate well with everybody. All right. So now we can switch gears here a little bit. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time we can come together here with one another to worship you in our music, worship you in our giving, worship you in fellowshipping and loving one another. And Father, help us to really focus in on you, to really pay attention to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us this morning. And not just today, but really every day. Help us to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, to our minds, what he's calling us to action that will move, that when he's calling us to wait, we'll wait, and so that we don't cause grief to the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for each one that's here today, thinking of those who can't be here today too. I know we have several people that have injuries and just dealing with ailments and different things. Father, we lift them up before you today too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So knowing that communion was coming the last couple weeks, something that's kind of been rolling around in my mind, and I always find it interesting how God confirms things. And so one of the things that I'd been kind of thinking about is this idea of confession and repentance and how it relates to communion, because it relates a lot to communion. And then one of the speakers on KMBI this week talked about this very subject. And it's like, well, okay, I guess that's what I need to do. And so this morning, as we prepare for communion and then having a little time after that of praise and prayer for one another, I wanted to talk a little bit about confession and repentance. So, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, at some point, there was a time, a specific time, when you confessed your sin to God, said that you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, asked for forgiveness of your sin. There was a point in time when you did that. But there should also be multiple points in time when you do that. Because we continue to sin, right? Anybody in here not sin? It's kind of what I thought, but you know, I wanted to make sure. We still sin. And so what that brings about is also needing confession and repentance. In James 5:16 it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." You know, and I read that passage and I think, what? I got to tell somebody else about my sin, not just God? But here's what God wants you to do. It's so that you have a support system. It's so that you have people who can pray for you, because that's what it then goes on to talk about, is praying for one another. Someone who will hold you accountable. It's good for us to share our burdens, to share what's going on in our lives so others can come alongside of us and help us. In 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin that God can't forgive. There isn't any. If we will go to Him and confess it and ask for forgiveness, He will forgive. So many times what happens is the enemy, Satan, who's also called the father of lies, will come along and say, well, you know, God can't forgive that sin. Oh, and by the way, you keep doing it over and over and over and over. How many times is He going to forgive you of that? Every time I ask. Because that's who God is. But the enemy would want to try to dissuade us from that. But it isn't just about confession, it's also about repentance. You know, it's one thing to confess a sin, it's another thing to repent of that sin. And basically what repentance means is turn around 180 degrees. So if I'm walking this way into sin and I confess it, so then if I repent, I turn around and go the opposite way. That's what repentance is. And confession is just agreeing with God about the sin, because He already knows about it. I mean, you're not telling Him anything new. He already knows about it. In Acts, Peter, as he's talking to the crowd, he says to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We need to repent of our sin. We need to turn away from it. Ezekiel, God speaking to us, says, "Repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces from all your abominations." Because really what happens, the sin in our life really is our idols. You know, those sins that, especially the ones that we just can't seem to get past. We keep going back to them. And that's why it's good to have somebody or somebodies who can come alongside of you and say, "So how'd you do today? Or how did you do this week? Or this month?" Someone who's willing to not only hold you accountable, but to pray for you. To pray for you also. Because as we come before the Lord's table this morning, as we participate in communion, one of the issues that Paul had with the Corinthians in that passage in 1 Corinthians 11 was really what it was sin that they were dealing with. It was how they were treating one another. They were not treating one another well. It was all about themselves. It was the sin of selfishness. And as he tells us here what Jesus left for us. In verse 26 it says, "For often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." In other words, as we do this, We're proclaiming what Jesus did, that he shed his blood, that he gave his body for us. Paul goes on to say, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It's serious. It's very serious. He goes on to say in verse 28, so a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In other words, we're supposed to look inside. And we're supposed to look at, so how am I doing? You know, do I have sin in my life that I've not dealt with right now? Do I have relationships in my life that aren't good and I need to do something about it? Paul goes on to talk about how serious this is. He says, this is so serious that people participating in it wrongly have died. That's how serious it is. You know, I'm pretty glad that today, if I drink from the cup and I haven't dealt with my stuff, I don't drop dead. But could you imagine? Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? So the disciples were selling all their stuff and they were selling land and property, and they were bringing the money in and laying it at the disciples' feet to help the church grow. And Ananias and Sapphira brought some money in, and they put it down with the assumption that they were giving everything they had. And Peter says to them both separately, because of your sin, God's taking you out. And he did it immediately. The very interesting thing I find about is the next verse that it talks about. It says, and the church grew. So it didn't scare anybody away from being part of the church. What it did is it told them, this is serious business. And God wants those that are serious. He's serious about them, and he wants them serious about him. So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you all to close your eyes. And here's what I want you to picture. I want you to picture Jesus hanging on the cross. He hung there for you. The Bible tells us that he was beaten so badly that he wasn't even recognizable. Bloodied, bruised. The nails through his feet, the nails through his hands. He hung there on the cross out of love. Because he loved us that much. Now what I want you to picture is how much grief it causes him when you sin. It's almost like telling him that we don't care about that blood that he shed, about his body that was beaten and bruised for us. Because really all sin is selfishness. We just want what we want. Moses, when it was found out that he was Hebrew, that he was Jewish, said that he wanted to live with his people in slavery rather than participating in any little amount of sin in Pharaoh's household. Because he knew how important it was that in light of eternity, that little bit of sin wasn't worth it. Father, help us this morning through your Holy Spirit to keep those short accounts, that when sin occurs in our lives, we immediately deal with it by confessing it to you and by repenting. And Father, if it's something that we really need help with, beyond you even, if we need somebody here on this earth to hold us accountable, you direct us to the people that we need to confess our sins to. Because your Bible's clear. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. And so, Father, we want to do that. We want to honor you. So as we participate or get ready to participate in communion here this morning, Father, help us to examine our hearts. Help us to examine our lives. Is there sin that we're dealing with right now today that we need to confess, that we need to repent of before we participate? Are there relationships that we need to deal with, that we need to take care of to the best of our ability, mend those relationships? It can be done through the power of your Holy Spirit. It can't be done in our own power. So, Father, help us. Help us to do that. And help it not be just here today, right now. Because it's easy to sit here, or easier to sit here and confess that sin and say that we'll repent. And then when we get out back into the real world, the enemy comes along and he starts whispering in our ear, starts to try to confuse us, to take us down the wrong direction, to go back on what we've already said we would do. We ask your Holy Spirit to give us the strength, the power, the fortitude to go outside of these walls and do what we've committed to do inside these walls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can have the guys come on up.